Good morning, everyone. I'm sitting in the corner here on the left side, in the back. My name is Hemant. We are going to take a few minutes to set our motivation and do a brief meditation, okay, this morning before Geshe-la starts. So I also want to give some credit. I've taken some excerpts from How to Meditate by Kathleen McDonald. It's a book available in the bookstore, so I just wanted to give her credit. So I invite you now to sit comfortably and close your eyes, relax your body and mind, and let all thoughts and worries subside. Mindfully observe your breath until you're calm and your awareness is focused in here and now. As most of you know, the goal of our practice is to reach the state of wholeness, enlightenment, in order to alleviate the suffering of others, bring them happiness, and finally lead them to their own enlightenment. The aspiration to do this is known as the mind of enlightenment, or bodhicitta, and is the experience of opening our heart to all sentient beings, allowing love and compassion to flow to everyone without limitation. We can start to cultivate the mind of enlightenment now in our day-to-day lives by being kind and open to people we meet, being patient with them, and being aware of their needs. It is easy, however, to deceive ourselves, to play a role of friendly, open person while hiding our feelings of irritation and intolerance. So it's important to get in touch with our feelings as we try to extend ourselves to others. So think that you are doing this meditation for the benefit of yourself and others, to generate a more positive, loving energy in your mind, and to send it out to others and to the world. Start by imagining all living beings around you, either loved ones or someone like your mother on your left and your father on your right, and the other relatives and friends are around and behind you. Visualize in front of you even those you may dislike, and extending in every direction all the way to the horizon, all other beings. Feel that they are there in human form, sitting quietly, just like you. If that's difficult for you to visualize, think of as many beings as you comfortably can. Stay relaxed. Don't feel crowded or tense. Just imagine that a sense of harmony and peace pervades everyone. Consider how nice it would be for yourself and others if you were able to love all these beings. Contemplate that everyone wants to be happy and to avoid suffering, just as you do. They're all trying to make the best of their lives. Now generate a feeling of love in your heart. You can do this by thinking of someone you love and letting your natural good feelings for this person arise. You might like to imagine your love as a warm, bright light, not physical, but pure positive energy glowing in your heart. But before you can truly love others, you need to first love yourself. Loving yourself means accepting yourself as you are, with your present faults and shortcomings, and recognizing you have the potential to free yourself from all your problems. So really, wish yourself all happiness and goodness there is. Imagine that a warm energy in your heart expands until it completely fills your body and mind. If you have a habit of being critical, judgmental, and even angry towards yourself, it will take some time to change this. So you may not suddenly feel love for yourself, but if you were to say yourself, may I be happy? May I have what I need to feel happy, safe, loved, and satisfied? Then gradually these thoughts and feelings will grow and become genuine. It's enough for now to just think this way and say these words to yourself. Now let's meditate on the love for others. Start with your family and close friends near you. Say in your mind words such as, may you be happy. May you have what you need to feel happy, safe, loved, satisfied. May all your thoughts be positive and all experiences good. May you be free from problems, sickness, and sadness. May your lives be long and peaceful, and may you quickly reach enlightenment. Let's extend this to people who are not so close to you. They could be people you work with, neighbors, fellow shoppers in the supermarket, drivers on the road, and so forth. Reflect that they, just like you, want to be happy and deserve to be happy. See if you can feel the wish for them to be happy by thinking, may you be happy. May you have what you need to feel happy, safe, loved, and satisfied. May all your thoughts be positive and all your experiences good. May you be free of problems, sickness, sadness. May your lives be long and peaceful. And may you quickly reach enlightenment. Then send the radiant energy of love from your heart to them and imagine that they experience the happiness they wish for. Now extend these thoughts to all sentient beings. Completely open your heart and imagine your love flowing to every direction, reaching all the beings who are lonely, sick, hungry, confused, oppressed, frustrated, frightened. Their suffering disappears and their minds become peaceful, clear and full of pure happiness. Wish them to have good experience from the satisfaction of ordinary needs and desires all the way to enlightenment. Concentrate on this feeling of love for a minute or so. Let's conclude by thinking that you definitely have the potential to love everyone, even those you don't even know. Generate a strong wish to work on your own anger, impatience, selfishness, and other problems that prevent you from having such love. By keeping your mind open and trying to overcome your ego's prejudiced attitudes, you leave much space in your heart for pure universal love and thus more happiness for yourself and others to develop. Well, finally, let's dedicate this positive energy of your meditation to all beings with the wish that they find happiness and enlightenment. Please open your eyes and bring your attention back to the room. May our minds now be open to the wonderful teachings from our dear Geshe-la. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. We'll start our prayers. In the gold prayer book, turn to page 34. And if you have the white notebook, turn to the page of text. And we'll start with the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra three times. Jaya cha om mune mune maha munaye soha. Chaya cha om Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Now the Medicine Buddha stanza. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha lapis light. And we'll chant the mantra 7 times. Jayata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Braja Samudgate Soha Jayata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha Jayata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha Teata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha Teata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha Teata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha Teata Om Bekanse Bekanse Maha Bekanse Bekanse Raja Samudgate Soha. Now we'll say the four immeasurables 3 times in English, and Geshe reminds us that when we say a prayer 3 times, it's to help us really get focused in on it. We can maybe be a little spaced out for some of it, and so possibly by the 3rd time we're really thinking about the words that we're saying. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And now we'll turn to the bottom of page 37. And we'll chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha, Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha, Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare 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 Tu Re Soha. Okay, the children can now go to their classes.
call me the baby like that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you don't mind, it take maybe one moment to introduce yourself to each other, please. Domasi. Napkin. Upside down. Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you.
I'm very happy, no need to ring the bell. I've been teaching this book. The title of the book is called Seven Point Mind Training Text. Okay, 7 Point Mind Training Text. Now the question is like, why the mind needs to be trained? Train. Why so important? So, you know, including myself, all my friends here. So, every day there are many challenges, mostly related to the mind. So according to Buddhism, or Buddhist philosophy, Buddhism, all the problems caused by troubling thought. All the problems is caused by troubling thought. according to Buddhism, so Buddhist teachings, all the problems caused by troubling thought. So now you see, like the purpose of meditations, the meaning or purpose of meditations, to minimize troubling thought. Power of meditations. So meditation become quite famous in the West. So, for the sake of knowledge, it's important to understand why we meditate. No, because I want to eat pizza, so therefore I want to meditate. No, you don't have to meditate in order to eat the pizza. You can just call them and they'll deliver to your house. So, gom top, gom, that's meditation, top, power. Nyumong, troubling thought. Chua, less troubling thought. That should be the result of meditation. A less troubling thought, life is going to be better off. Even though you live in the cave on Himalayan mountain, middle of nowhere, your heart filled with joy. No, you don't need sense club to make your heart happy. Sense club? Sense club? Sense club, Costco, you don't need this. You are satisfied, you are content, even though you live in the, like 15,000 feet above sea level, middle of nowhere, your heart is filled with joy. So now you see, you know, like less troubling thought must be the result of meditation. So, whether you are sitting down, walking around, driving cars, walking in the park, climbing Rocky Mountain on Colorado, doesn't matter. If you manage to minimize troubling thought, that is meditation, okay? So other than that, or could be sitting like this, you know, very seriously, you know, like, but thinking something negative is just completely waste of time. Doesn't do any good. So this, you know, you sit, when you meditate, it's not meditation, that's how you're supposed to sit. So meditation is something happening, that's called inner revelations, something happening inside. Just want to share with you, you know, so it's very important, so so power or purpose of meditation is to have less troubling thought. The life is going to be much better off. Less troubling thought. So now troubling thought, now all the problem is caused by troubling thought, not by, you know, neighbors, or not by president, not by country, not by, you know, it's caused by troubling thought. So that is serious thing, that's serious things, huh? If everybody has less troubling thought, like community is going to be much better, country is going to be much better, whole universe is going to be much better. So that's the goal, that's the main goal. Main goal is not to become Buddhist or become Christian or become believing in some religions. The main important thing is to have less troubling thought. So how to do that? So that's the most important. That guarantees your happiness, that guarantees happiness within the community, within the family, within the friendship, less troubling thoughts. So that's very, very important, very important. So there's something that we can do, so that's why, you know, according to Buddha's teaching, that's why you meditate. Meditate, you know, try to minimize the best, eradicate. Eradicate?
Eradicate.
Eradicate from your mind stream. Just take a moment and think. Life without troubling thought. You'll never get irritated by anything because you have no troubling thought. No, that's the goal, you know, that's the goal. So then, you know, if people have less and less, like, troubling thoughts, so then, you know, it's good, that's good things. You know, doesn't matter if that person is atheist, Buddhist, not Buddhist, you know, that person has more positive thought, that benefits, that guarantee happiness. So that is the goal, that's the goal. So now see, all the problem caused by troubling thought. Then those troubling thought is deeply rooted into attitude. My way, highway. My way, highway, yeah. Oh, amazing. I, you know, question, what is I? What is self? The question is, what is self? How do you define I? Something that we change so much, the notion of self. Did we ever bother to analyze at all? So much book has been written, so much study has been done, so much research has been done, how to define self. Become attached to self, then from there, then mind, my religion, my country, my people, my, then you know. It's good, you know, to take, you know, some once a while, good to analyze, you know. So, I'm so unhappy, we don't analyze I, a notion of self. There's something, something, you know, something important to think about, If you wish to free, if you have desire to free yourself from troubling thought, so then something important to think about. To analyze a notion of self. You know, what is self? How you define self? Based on this aggregate, that's how the notion of self rises. But this aggregate is not the self. It's the result of sperm and egg. That's what it is. You know? So then based on that, this very strong sense of self rises. So then, you know, that also, you know, teaching about Tongpanyi. See, when you lay down on the park, look up the clear sky, what do you see? What you see? You see clear sky. That's all you see. What else? You see nothing. So when you meditate on emptiness, you see something. What you see is like clear sky. That's all you see. Nothing else. When you come out of that meditations, then how you see things now? All this conventional reality. You see they are like illusions. Not illusion. Like illusions. Before that, everything was so serious. Now it's like illusions, not like dream. So then you develop this concentration like illusion that allows you to see when you come out of that meditations, and now you see, you know, everything's like illusion, like dream. So that the one saying is like all the troubling thought is deeply rooted into the notion of self and self-grasping mind. And self-chasing mind, deeply rooted on that. So from there, all the troubling thoughts rise. So now the purpose of meditation is to minimize, for the sake of knowledge, to minimize troubling thought. So that requires wisdom. Wisdom. Then wisdom liberates. Liberates, okay. So now here, I think the mosquito is trying to take away my happiness. I blame all my unhappiness to mosquitoes. Niju debacles, niju new environment. They will live in environment. could be family, could be community, could be neighborhood, could be country. Then this get bigger and bigger. Being, the being, being inside the environment. Being, you understand? Being? How you say?
Be
inside the environment who's eating the flowers. So people or you know, breathing living beings inside environment. Environment, living being inside the environment. The Bokovet says, environment itself becomes so hard to deal with. Then being inside the environment turns into negative, saying something negative, doing all kinds of negative things. Change undesirable, unfavorable conditions. They rise based on environment, based on being inside environment, what we do, what we should do. If you are in that circumstance, what we should do, what you can do. Changchub. Lam is the path. There is possibilities that you can transform that undesirable condition, causes undesirable conditions related to environment and the, how is it, being, makes sense, being inside environment related to that, that's undesirable conditions related to the environment and the being inside environment. Transforming that, there's possibility, transforming that into path. That path leads you to hear like enlightenment. I'm not sure like when you hear word enlightenment in English, called Tibet is called Changchub. Changchub, that's like the highest state of, freedom. Higher state of freedoms. That's the meaning of Changchub. Freedom from what? The problem is troubling thought. That needs to be things that keep in your mind. Freedom from that, freedom from troubling thought. When you say freedom, there's a freedom from what? Freedom from troubling thought. So that's called enlightenment, fully enlightenment. So then you transform by thinking deep, maybe thinking big, like not just focus on something narrow, like thinking bigger, seeing the bigger pictures. So then you try to transform that miserable conditions, unfavorable conditions related to the environment and into being into the environment. Then try through thinking, then try to transform that into the path that will lead you to greater freedoms. Make sense? Oh, not easy thing to do. No, it's hard. But there's no option. There's no other option. So, if you scream, shout, yell, then situation gets worse. It's nothing to do with religion. It's just reality. If you are not calm, you can't make someone else calm. If you are screaming, yelling, shouting, how you can tell someone calm down? That's the problem. Nobody can listen. Because you are screaming. So that's according to this 7-point mind training teachings. Said, "Niju dibakho vese jenge chanju lamdujus." Niju dibakho jenge lamdujus. Then there's another book called Guru Puja. And when you look at that book, and there says, niji dibe dibu kane se o kaza midyo dunga chada bajira legirib jimru then if you have some knowledge about what is karma, so that probably also helps you to, you know, deal with the situations, if you have some understanding. That's what I'm saying, need to think big. Look at the situation from the bigger picture, not just, you know, narrow. So then, you know, even the scientists, I think that, you know, there's like, conference between science and Buddhism taking place now last 3 decades. So there's a lot of conversation, discussion between scientists, you know, then scientists from America, Europe, you know, Russia, then they go to India, so then with His Holiness Dalai, they discuss, well, basically what they are discussing about human emotions, you know, human emotions. They are not discussing about life before this, life after that, they are not, they have no interest. So they are discussing about how to, they are discussing about different types of emotions, you know, like all of that, you know, like something beyond brain, the human experience, something beyond brain. So then one scientist, His Holiness mentioned that one scientist, when we get angry, if we just focus on the narrow side of anger, then that, even that famous scientist from America said, like, now for his old passed. He said that 90% is projected, 90% is projected, probably 10% there, 90% is projected. Even the scientists don't agree that, no. So just, you know, think of whatever ways, you can protect from troubling thought. In this circumstance, whatever ways. Protect yourself from troubling thought. When the troubling thought rises, there will be problem. There's a result. That's the result of troubling thought. What is the result of troubling thought? Problem. That's all. No happiness. Problem. Just problem. That's the result of troubling thought. Therefore, whatever ways you can protect yourself from troubling thought, that's the most important thing to do. That's the most important thing, to protect yourself. So, it's hard. Is it hard? It's very hard. So for the beginner, then what do you do? So you avoid object. So here you in the West you say space. I need space. That's exactly what it means. You know, avoiding objects. So I taught the class in Mexico. One of my friends, you know, unfortunately, her father is always, you know, kind of pessimistic. Not getting very along with his sisters. So one time they are having dinner or lunch, I don't remember. So probably he like misheard what I said. I said, for beginner, it's better to avoid the object rather than speaking with the object, they try to apply antidote. That's very hard. So better to avoid the object, so then troubling thought will die down. No. he probably misheard. So when they are having dinner or lunch together, they get into argument. So probably he throw the soup to her. Then later on he told his daughter, I did exactly what Gila said to do. I feel so bad. I avoid the object doesn't mean hurt the object. So that's why he thought about then they throw the soup. So that's not good, you know. So sometimes people hurt different things. So. The problem is that you are, yourself is not free from troubling thought. If that's the case, if there's a case, who knows, I don't know, you are free or not free, I don't know, I can't tell. But certainly I'm not free from troubling thought. So there's the one component, there's the one fact. So then close by object, close to or close by?
Close by.
Close by object. You know? Tajie Pangbam, that's the text, it's been written by Vasubandhu, one of the Indian masters. It's called Treasure of Knowledge. Chapter number 5, very beginning of chapter number 5, or somewhere there. Or not very beginning, maybe somewhere there. Tajie Pangbam, Mahintan. Not free from troubling thought. Then close by object. No. Looking at the object with troubling thought, not necessarily positive but troubling thought, then all kinds of perceptions rise. Well, I don't like that person, the way he talk or she talk, the way she looks, the way she do all the dress, and there are so many, I say, comment. 100 pages of comments that he writes. So then, all the conditions for troubling thought is complete. So then, troubling thought rise. Therefore, there's always risk. Until we are not free from troubling thought, there's always risk, big risk that we face. If you can stick with the object, then apply antidote, that's good things. If not, then avoid. Then you will be more successful avoiding object than rather than sticking with the object, then try to apply antidote. So that's what said Vasubandhu, Treasure of Knowledge, that is what he said, Indian master. So, peace of mind is necessary, it's required to challenge troubling thought. It requires peace of mind, calm mind. With calm mind, does peaceful mind, is there a difference between peaceful mind and happy mind? Yeah. Is peaceful mind happy mind or not happy mind? Happy mind. Peaceful mind means happy mind. Semba. Tibetan word means mind. Kibu means happy. Happy mind. Semba kibu. Semba kibu means I'm enjoying happy mind. Semba kibu. That's what you say. Nothing. It's nothing to do with the body. Just I'm enjoying happy mind. Semba kibu. Semba kibu shedado means very, very enjoy. The happy mind is very much enjoy happy mind. So now peaceful mind, how you create or develop peaceful mind? Want to contribute?
To avoid being object?
So very interesting, throwing soup.
Maybe he did have a peaceful mind after this.
Maybe at that moment you might enjoy. But when you remember that event, I don't think you enjoy as a human. So, how to develop peaceful mind? Yeah, please, how to develop? So then I will share my thought.
Letting go of the things that keep us attached, that overwhelm us, and then we can have a peaceful, more peaceful mind.
Or maybe phrase different way, like how to make your mind calm and peaceful. Same, how to develop or how to make your mind calm and peaceful. Is there different how to develop peaceful mind or how to make your mind calm and peaceful? So you say let go of attachment. Then, this is important. Don't you think it's important? Because we all have mind, right? Do we have mind?
Yes.
Doesn't matter, that only monk has mind. We don't have mind. So that's very good news. That's not the case. Everybody, American, Tibetan, everybody has mind. Means everybody thinks. So that's why it's important.
I just think of peace as the clearing of my thoughts, the lack of the clouds. The clouds are wrong thoughts, and they keep me from seeing the truth. I like to imagine open sky.
Mm-hmm. So that's also that's another thing, how to clear your thought. How to clear your thought. What do you do? So anybody else to contribute?
For me it's important to, when I start thinking negative thoughts, to somehow try to switch that negative into something positive. So continue work on what you think and how you can redirect that negative thought towards something nice and positive. And if you slowly manage to do that, I see that instead of I wake up and I'm in a bad mood or I'm tired, and so I make an effort to start thinking something positive or meditate or dance or sing, and then suddenly my day changes, my whole energy changes, and I'm calmer, I'm in a better mood.
Oh, good. Dance and sing. That's good. That's good, yeah. If that helps, that's wonderful, yeah. Isn't it?
Practicing concentration to direct my thoughts where I choose.
Does that make sense? Concentration. Very good.
Sometimes when I have negative thoughts and I'm stuck in my negative thinking, I try to do an act of kindness for someone else or something else. Like, I try to do something kind for someone else and redirect my actions outside of my mind and do positive actions.
Oh, very good. Wonderful. Yeah, very good.
I think everything that everybody shared is wonderful, and I also try to focus on the moment if I think about what's peaceful for me. So not only challenging the negative thoughts, but focusing on the senses and, maybe being outside or doing a visualization or, some of those other things that bring me peace, and, knowing I can't change the past and the future hasn't happened yet, but just focusing on the now.
So I think this is a little bit challenging for me. First of all, thinking about, being a step ahead of what the action is going to bring is probably the most easy thing to do, to say, but it's harder to do it because in the meantime you want to live the moment, right? However, the moment is right now when you are angry, when you are upset, when whatever you don't want to say, you say. So how can you keep that calm if you can see in advance, you can see one step ahead? I think that's very helpful. That's one thing. It's harder to do than easier to say than do. It's one thing. The other thing is that when those things happen and already happened, or when you are right, when it's happening, in the moment when it's happening, just think about something that you are grateful for. So look at the object, look at whoever that particular subject is, and just think one to two things of pretty much just gratefulness. If that doesn't help, just smile, and at that moment, just because you smiled, your whole body, not just the body changes, but the mind changes as well. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I think it's much easier to say than do.
Yeah, that's, I think everybody exists. It's easy to say than done.
Sometimes it helps me if I can look at the troubling thought and see whether or not I can really be sure it's true. Mm-hmm. Because usually the troubling thought that's in my mind is an interpretation of the events that are happening. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that I can know that my interpretation is accurate and true. And so questioning it sometimes brings me some relief, because then I can say, well, maybe I'm interpreting that they took that piece of cake because they don't want me to have any, but really maybe they just want a piece of cake. Maybe that has nothing to do with me, you know. So asking if it's really true, the story I'm telling myself, is sometimes helpful.
That's a good, wonderful, yeah. Yeah, sure. How to throw the soup?
Yeah. Actually, almost. But my question, I guess, is it so wrong to be upset? Is it so bad to not to yell at someone? But is the first instinct, because everybody gets upset and everybody feels like screaming and crying and hitting the wall, is it so bad to hit the wall? Is it so bad to scream? And I'm not saying hitting someone, screaming at someone, right? Because but is it so bad to throw the soup? It does come from a negative anger perspective, but do we want to reprimand that all the time? Like, we are... Oh, I know. That was just a question.
So what do you think? Well, I don't know.
So I don't know if, you know, like the enlightened, like to reach enlightenment, like that word to me has so many, it's so vast. So,
yeah,
you know,
so
right?
Vast,
So I'm not sure, you know, I am at the maybe like zero level, sea level when it comes to enlightenment, because I'm extremely energetic, I'm extremely communicative and vocal, and if I get upset or if I get passionate, I scream, and I just, you know, but then my screaming doesn't come from a mean perspective. I don't hold grudges. I cannot genuinely hate anyone. I cannot genuinely mean anyone, or I'm not jealous if someone's rich or someone has the stars and the moon and I don't. So I know that inside I'm an amazingly good and compassionate person, but outside, if I'm angry at someone, including my family or my kids, I just... You know, my life is just not always peaceful and always like no wind, no rain, no storms. So, is it so wrong to throw the soup?
Susie, my.
Geshe, thank you for your wonderful words every week. My wife and I come here, and you always help to calm our minds and help us, guide us through our lives. So thank you so much for that. And when I have problems in my life, and I look at them as storms, and I think there's a natural tendency, as you talked about projection and avoidance, there's a natural tendency to avoid. So I see in my mind a ship, and I'm on my ship, and I'm I'm going away from the storm. And every time I've found the solution is to turn my ship around and head directly into the storm, realizing that that storm is mostly from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, it always leads me to much more success in my life.
Oh, very good.
So thank you for your words.
Oh, wonderful. Very good.
Okay, for as to the question is whether it's bad to get angry, I think it's important to realize that we're constantly influencing people around us all the time. Like, no matter what we're doing, we're having some kind of impact on other beings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting angry, once you start doing that, you're going to have a negative impact on somebody, and you're going to transfer your negative thoughts to other people who are going to do the same as well to other beings. And you're kind of setting off a chain, so it's important to stop it with yourself and to not transfer negative energy to other people around you. And to be really mindful of, like, the impact that you're having on those around you.
Wonderful.
In answer to her concern, we're all human beings, and we can't be enlightened 24/7. So I think that if we're angry, if we're sad, just be a human being and let it consume you. Don't affect other people. Don't radiate it to other people. Just feel it, allow it to come in, and then once you're done, you take it, you learn from it, and you know better for next time. You know what to do next time. You know how to be a little bit more enlightened next time. So that's how I think about it.
Wonderful, very good. Maybe give big round of applause for everybody who participated. Yeah, so right now, it's, you know, enlightenment seems so far away right now, you know, because but doesn't mean it's impossible. It is very possible. So instead of thinking just like that, so day to day life, you know, so then some like suggest like controlling yourself, you know. So so when you get upset, you know, so many things we say, sometimes you realize, then you control, you don't say, you control yourself. So that's possible. That's kind of like liberations right there. So that, you know, then slowly it gets in a better. Oh, yeah, so very true. I totally agree with, you know, like it's easy to say than done. But, you know, there's sometimes that we can control. So because we are being mindful and remembering the past event, what happened, this huge argument happened because he says something, you say something, he says something, then they trigger all kinds of memories in the past. Then, you know, so they bring back all this garbage. So then you create more garbage, you know. So this time you realize, you are being more mindful, realize, kind of remembering what happened in the past. When you remember, it's not really good things. You don't enjoy. So then this time you try to control that, then you can control. So that's like maybe momentary liberations. So now here, so then clearing thought. So now the question is how to do? How to make your mind calm and peaceful, how to develop a peaceful mind. According to, you know, meditation that's been explained in the Buddhism, so concentrations, what do you think, concentrations? Thought will be there. You can't eliminate. Mind thinks all the time. You can't stop. That's unfortunate side. So mind thinks all the time. But you can stop by thinking something, just one thing, not something, a few things, one thing. That means concentration. You focus on something, and please try and see how it works. focus. Anything, could be anything, could be color, anything, just focus. Or also maybe create the mental image and focus on that. And see, does that make your mind calm and peaceful? Do please experiment. Someday, someday's concentration, the power of concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. Also, that kind of clears out other thoughts. Need to focus. Sunday chishi. So some people, they use breathing. Exhale, inhale, they count their breathing. Sometimes they just, people just create some mental image, then they focus, they concentrate. And see, please try and see that if that makes your mind, they're supposed to make your mind calm and peaceful. That's what it said in the teachings, supposed to make. How we can find out? If you don't try, then there's no way to find out. If you try, so then see how it makes. Okay, so that's just want to share with you. So that's, I'm just repeating here, it's already been said, thousands of years ago, concentrations. Oh. What happens, because if we let our mind, if we let our mind just, hang out, I'm not sure what that means, hang out. Hang means hang.
Yeah, but hang out is...
Usually hang means like this, hang. Out, I'm not sure how that works, hang out. Or maybe hang in or hang out. If you let your mind wander, that's probably better. Yeah. If you let your mind wander, yeah, so then mind will think all kind of things. If you keep that mind and on one object, okay, next 5 minutes you are going to stay here. You are going not anywhere. You are not going anywhere. You stay here. Oh, I want to go to check refrigerator. Is there enough ice cream or not? No, no, you come here. 5 minutes, no going anywhere. And see how it works. Does that make your mind calm and peaceful? If your answer is yes, based on your experiment, based on your meditation, then please continue. That can be developed. That can be developed. Now, only 1 second. Only last, only 1 second, then it wanders again. Next time it lasts 2 seconds, next time it lasts 3 seconds, then logically it doesn't make sense. If it can last 1 second, why it can't last 2 seconds? Then it can be expanded. Then hold 60 seconds right here, nothing else. Thinking something, one. That's all, nothing else. So then, that's the way to clear out all the thoughts. When all the thoughts are cleared away, then mind become calm. Because mind is not become not calm because there's, it's like popcorn. How it can become? You know, there's like so many things pop. Oh, so that someday chishis, loi tol last wisdom liberates. Wisdom frees, wisdom liberates. Oh, loi tol. Oh, so require some knowledge how to deal with troubling thought, how to deal with. So, you know, so then, you know, as the life is not perfect, everybody has problem, everybody, every day. Unless you free yourself from troubling thought, then life is going to be perfect. Other than that, you have to understand the reality that life is not going to be happy all the time. Why? Because long as we have no troubling thought and the tendency of troubling thought, life is going to be like this, up and down, up and down. So accepting that will reduce so many unrealistic expectations. Well, I get headache because I have head. If you don't have head, you never get headache. So you see? Oh, like that. So now back to the power of, you know, troubling thought, power of meditation. power of meditation is to minimize troubling thought, okay, troubling thought. Dharma to be nimotos, enemies within. What is that? Troubling thought. That needs to be challenged. Then life is going to be rise and shine. If you manage to challenge the troubling thought. Oh. Then of course easier said than done. so I told you easier said than done. But we can't give up. We have to try. Now not much time left, so I will read this one question here. How can I stop being distracted. So how can you may not like the answer. So, I'm going to be here forever. That idea. There's one reason to being distracted. Get distracted or being?
Be distracted.
Yeah, be distracted. The idea, oh, I'm going to be here forever. That's according to the teaching. No, I'm not. I didn't make this up. Meditation on impermanent, and according to the Apple founder, Steve Jobs. Probably it's already been said thousands of years ago, but you know, the way he probably said it, there will be different ways. Thinking every day is the last day. Or treating every day is last day. So based on that, then you have to choose what's more important, or then you know how to prioritize. Otherwise, as a Buddhist, you meditate on death and impermanence all the time, every day. So that keeps you on track, not to get distracted. Not to get distracted. Does not mean don't enjoy. Don't please misunderstand. Or doesn't mean, you know, like, don't enjoy, of course, no. Why you don't enjoy? Because that's the result of your positive karma. You should enjoy, you must enjoy. Same time, you have to remember very clearly. Nothing guarantees happiness, nothing. Eating pizza doesn't guarantee happiness. Driving a fancy car doesn't guarantee happiness. People who drive fancy cars, sometimes you see they get so angry, doesn't help. Driving like $100,000 car doesn't guarantee that you are never going to get angry. No, that's not true. So that needs to be understood very clearly right from the beginning. Everything, very expensive leather couch, sitting on that does not guarantee happiness. Need to remember everything comes with complication. Everything, job, friend, everything's coming to complications. Need to be very aware. There's the downside of all the goodness. All the goodness downside It doesn't guarantee satisfactions. It does not mean you should not enjoy. Of course you enjoy. But need to remember very clearly right from the beginning. Oh, everything changed. Your perception change, your interest change, your idea change. Oh, so that is very important to remember, Even this life that you change so much will disappear someday. Do I have any clue when? I don't have any clue. This could be last day. So I need to think something good, something positive. No, I need to think something positive for sake of my own happiness. So that's the answer for this, based on the teachings. Meditating on death and impermanence, so then kind of, you know, keep you on track, not to get distracted by other things. So it's all boils down on the mind. If your mind is good, you are doing something, don't think that's distracted because your mind is good. No. Or going to the beach, laying down on sand, it's what we call sunbathing. Need to remember very clearly right from the beginning, that does not guarantee happiness. But doesn't mean don't enjoy. You can enjoy in the same time. Not just sunbathing, Everything. You can enjoy as much as you want, but nothing guarantees satisfactions. Satisfaction only comes by thinking. Thinking deep. Then you could develop satisfactions. Satisfaction does not come from doing stuff. It's come from by thinking. So just want to share that with you. So that's the answers. So maybe next Sunday then we'll talk more. So then please put more questions here. We can discuss. So then I would like to say a few things about service. Now that finished the class. And just want to some of you may know, remember the history of the Kadamba Center. I came here almost 20 years. When I first came, the center is in the basement, one of the office building. This basement probably holds, I think, most 50 people. From this, from that will be probably you packed like sardine. Small office behind there, so when there's rain, water leaks into the office. So that center is, if you are in, you are in. If you are out, then you are completely out. But that's so small. So then slowly grow, because of the service provided by people like you. So I said this many times, some of you think, oh, this is my center, this is not my center, I just come here to teach. Everything else, taken care of by the board. I don't get involved with the money, so I have no idea how much money, so everything handled by other board member. I just come here to teach, that's all. So if they ask advice, then I give some, If I have some advice, then I give them some. So then everything, here. So then eventually we move here, and there's so much work that needs to be done, because this building used to be store where they sell fish in the glass. What do you call it?
Aquarium.
Aquarium. So some of the center members, they still have the fish from here. Then I said sometimes jokingly, fish create the cost to transform this store into center where we can talk about teaching. So after we move here, then there's so much work that needs to be done, clean, all kind of things. Everything is done based on voluntaries. So now we enjoy, because so many people put so much energies. So now this floor, the lady who donated this floor, entire floor, she's gone. Few years ago, maybe now, almost 5-6 years ago, with my friend. She rarely come to center, but she's very happy when she came. She sees so many people. She wants to do something, even though she don't come here frequently. And she donated this whole floor. And everything here, this stage, built by volunteers, and all this, and all this, you know, tangos and statues, this all, everything here, bringing feeling, you know, this statue you see here, is that all the statues need to be filled with the mantras. So all the mantras, and there's so much like volunteers work, so that's all we have now, is everything like altar, then setting up here altar, you know, feeding the water bowl, all of cleaning, building the altar, all of that, you know, so there's so many, then those things come from, some of them come from Mongolia, some of them come from Tibet, Nepal, everything, that some of them donate from my teachers, so many things, you know, putting up, so then streaming the video, then you know, done by volunteers, so this, everything is done by volunteers, you know, so, in the end, is to benefit, that's all. In the end, is benefit. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Benefit are the sentient things. There's a core mind, a practice to benefit through service. Cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the bathroom, preparing for the class for the children, then like around the stupa cleaning, so then taking care of the garden, mowing the grass, running the small library here, small store, running children's programs. This is all voluntary basis. You know, so because of that, I say, this is our center. This is our center. So, that's how you benefit others, you know, through service. And so many people walk through this center. So many classes have been held. This is all totally based on voluntaries. You know, so a lot of people don't get paid, so they're just volunteers, cleaning bathroom, bringing the supply to the bathrooms, and, you know, donating food to the food bank every year, hundreds of pounds donating to the food banks. So then donating sometime, occasion donating school supplies into some kind of South American countries, and all of that done. So then, you know, helping the monks back in the monastery, then helping the monks and nuns back in Tibet, you know, so many good things happen. It's all a result of collective work. It's not me, it's collective work. So something to remember, then, you know, I say, to grateful when you walk in, so there's so many people invested, so much energy, so much dedication to provide the center to where the people can come and learn, and hopefully it helped them how to minimize troubling thought and develop more positive thought, and hopefully their life will be better off. So each one of you is part of this course. So this is not center that thinking, oh, how many people become Buddhists? No, this is not. That's not the goal. The goal is how many people become kinder, warm heart, kind, less judgmental. We all looking for happiness, regardless, Buddhist, not Buddhist, atheist, Indian, Tibetan, American, we are all looking for happiness. That's the goal, that's the fact. Nobody looking for suffering, nobody looking for problems. Everybody looking for happiness. Need to understand that very clearly. So this center is dedicated for that, how to develop loving kindness, compassion, or understand the situation based on the knowledge of samsara, that everybody, same, exactly like you, looking for happiness, then same, nothing, no difference. Why you care if someone's Buddhist or not Buddhist, Christian, not Christian, why you care? Only thing that you have to remember, they are looking for happiness. That's all. That's all. Like, exactly like you. So that's the foundations. So to then become the cause for that, become the cause for their happiness. So then your life is going to be much happier. So this center is dedicated for that. So then everything that happened, all the class been held here, all the programs, all the children, everything helps due to your contributions. So, and your contributions become huge, bigger, huge. It's not just, it's huge. So all the people who walk through this center, so like last 20 years, can you imagine? 20 years. So everything's, now they live all over the countries and then set nice things of centers. That's good, so that's all your contribution. So I want to request from the bottom of my heart that please you continually support the center. And it's your center. It's not my center. I don't own this place. I just come here to teach. Everything's run by board, so they decide. So, but I was very much as a part of this. So we built relationship last 20 years. So now I'm getting older and older. When I first came here, I was young. So now, you see all the gray hair here. I don't have even one gray hair when I first came here. So I've been, very much part of this center. So I always wish this center will flourish, success in every project that center is to take. So then to help to people to feel good when they come here. And now I think most of the time center is open, right? Open most of the day. It's open. Jill will tell you, you can come here and meditate. Don't need to be hesitant. This is our center. So, okay? So then as I mentioned before, I just from the bottom of my heart, for sake of all the people who comes here, so then please, help the center, okay? So with that, then I will conclude my today's class. And thank you, each and every one of you, being here and did so much voluntary work and dedicating your life for the betterment of all the sentient beings. So, thank you. That's our goal. Okay, thank you. Now, dedication.
Okay, please turn to page 246 in the Gold Prayer Book, or on the back of the text page in the white notebook. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And then turn to page 244, and we'll say the long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Tenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And at the bottom of the facing page, the one who masters speech at a very young age, the one with great patience to receive the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, Please remain until samsara ends. And back to the first page. You who uphold the doer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And seven Tara mantras for the long, happy, healthy lives of our Geshis. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. 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 And we have a couple of quick announcements. First of all, if you can stay, we have this beautiful offering table from our Tara practice last night. And if you can stay and help take that down, we would very much appreciate it. And then Elise and Denise have.
I would like to thank everybody and encourage you to rejoice in your merit. We collected almost 1,000 pounds of food for the food bank in 3 weeks. So thank you. And we had a wonderful team of volunteers from the Kadampa Center here last weekend who joined a team of Mormons in an interfaith hurricane cleanup and cleared over 8 trees from 2 different properties in just 1 day. So thank you. And next week, Geshe Sangpa will be creating a green Tara Zen mandala at Elon University. If you've never experienced it or would like to experience it again, the opening ceremony is on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. Closing ceremony Friday at 3 o'clock. And in between, anybody is welcome to come and view the creation of the San Mandala at Elon University. Just Google Elon University San Mandala for details. Thank you.
I have an announcement. Who would like to go to the Himalayan restaurant with me today? It's my treat. Oh.
How wonderful. And after lunch, if you want to try the experiment that Geshe-la is talking about, if you want to make your mind calm and peaceful and concentrate on one thing, you can join us back here at 1:30 for the first of 3 workshops we're going to do once a month related to the practices here in the Rhythm of Virtue. The one that we're doing today is, as described in your green programs, but it's to work on deepening our contemplation for any positive 4-line verse by playing with a 10-level Tai Chi-like exercise. So it's for anyone, really it's designed for adults, but for anyone who is interested who maybe has a hard time even with sitting because it's going to be some motion. So it starts with finger motion, and then it turns into a hand motion by the end of the time will actually have foot motion, so it's a whole body way to integrate and to concentrate. And the one today is on the flow integration. That's the one that Joey led at the interactive open house, if you participated in that. The one on November 18th is going to be to pick your principle and work through 4 different ways to concentrate on it. And December 16th we'll do the one which is going to involve drumming. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Geshe-la spoke so beautifully just a few minutes ago about service and volunteering and how we could not exist without every person who's here. I was thinking this morning about the state fair just down the road, and can you imagine if one person had to do all that? It wouldn't be much of a fair. You know, one person driving the train and unloading the train and setting up the roller coaster and doing all the quilts and the pottery and frying the deep-fried Snickers bars, you know, and without all the people to come, it wouldn't be much of a fair. And so we wouldn't be Kadampa Center without us. We are Kadampa Center. And so we want to thank everybody who makes us ourselves, who makes us this community. And first we want to thank our geshes and our nuns for living in vows, for dedicating their lives to the Dharma and all the ways that they serve the center. Even if they don't come in here, even, you know, and participate in a hands-on way, they're serving all of us just by living in their vows. So we're very appreciative of that. I've got a list of Heinz 57 here. I may not get through it all. But as I name different things that you may have done, please stand up and just stay standing so that we get everybody included. So please stand up if you have ever been on the board of directors. If you've ever been on the management team. If you've ever been a leader, a teacher, or a volunteer who helped in the family program. They're all out teaching and leading in the family program. If you've ever done anything to support the family program, if you've ever been a leader in the Kadampa Center Prison Project, involved in any way in the Prison Project, or been a pen pal with the Kadampa Center Prison Project, if you've ever taught a Discovering Buddhism class, if you've ever taught a Buddhism in a Nutshell class, been an assistant for the Buddhism in a Nutshell, for the Meditation 101. If you've ever been a Sunday morning program assistant, I'm losing my way. If you've ever helped with a puja, setting up or taking things down. If you've ever worked with the media, recording and streaming for everything we do and played music for the annual appeal. If you ever worked in the gardens in any way. If you've ever planned or helped out with a party here, I think that includes having something to eat at the party. If you've ever planned or helped with a Sunday tea, if you ever taught food for thought, if you've ever been on any committee with me. Thanks, Jill. If you've ever been on any committee working with Jill, our center manager, if you've ever served to support our Sunday morning meditation circle, if you've ever been a greeter to welcome people coming in the door, if you've ever been a leader of our newcomer question and answer or our new member orientation, if you've ever planned for or been a driver for Geshe Gelug or Geshe Sangpo, if you've ever driven a visiting teacher or helped a visiting teacher in any way, if you ever worked in the bookstore, helped with IT support, if you've ever helped me or Jill with anything we needed, if you've ever filled a water offering bowl, if you've ever moved the cushions and chairs around for a class, if you've ever moved them back after a class, if you ever handed anyone a prayer book who needed it, if you've ever opened the door for a Sangha member or our teachers, if you ever helped paint the walls or run an errand for the center, if you've ever changed the paper towels or put a fresh roll of toilet paper on, we all thank you for that. If you've ever washed or dried our Sangha cups or brought drinks in for our Sangha members, if you've ever explained anything to a visitor or someone who needed help, if you've ever cleaned anything at the center, swept the sidewalk, the front mat, or around the stupa, watered the plants or taken care of our flowers on the altar, changed out the Tara flowers on the altar, ever worked in the cafe or brought in supplies, if you've ever rescued a bug and taken it outside, if you've ever turned out the lights anywhere when you were done, if you've ever brought the flags in when the teachings were over, if you've ever shown anyone how to use the mysterious coffee machine or shown them where the tea was, if you've ever hugged anyone or shook their hand, or if you've ever smiled at anyone just because. Now, I know everybody in the room needs to be standing up because I know we've all smiled to someone. Doesn't have to be here at the center. Okay, let's give all of ourselves a round of applause for all the amazing efforts.